Hare Krishna. So very important day in Vaishnava calendar. It's the disappearance day of His Holiness Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Srila Prabhupada. We'll discuss briefly about his life. Before that, we'll read his Pranati on the board. Namaom Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Iti Namine. So the translation and the rest of the Pranati I'll read. I offer my respectful obeisances unto His Divine Grace Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is very dear to Lord Krishna, having taken shelter at his lotus feet. Shri Varshabhanavi Devi Daitaya Kripabdhaye Krishna Sammanda Vijnana Daine Prabhave Namaha. I offer my respectful obeisances to Shri Varshabhani Devi Daite Das, another name of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, who is favored by Srimati Radharani and who is the ocean of transcendental mercy and the deliverer of the science of Krishna. Madurojjwala Premadya Shri Rupanuga Bhaktida Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Vigrahaya Namostute. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, the personified energy of Shri Chaitanya's mercy, who deliver devotional service which is enriched with conjugal love of Radha and Krishna. Coming exactly in the line of revelation of Srila Rupa Goswami. Namaste Gauravani Shri Murtaye Dinatarine Rupanuga Viruddha Pa Siddhanta Dvanta Harine. I offer my respectful obeisances unto you, who are the personified teachings of Lord Chaitanya. You are the deliverer of all fallen souls. You do not tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of the devotional service enunciated by Srila Rupa Goswami. So we can see his position is very much glorified in his Pranati Mantra, that he is an ocean of transcendental, he is favored by Srimati Radharani herself, who is an ocean of transcendental mercy. He is the deliverer of the science of Krishna consciousness. He is the personified energy of Sri Krishna Chaitanya's mercy. And he is basically doesn't tolerate any statement which is against the teachings of Srila Rupa Goswami. And he is personified teachings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So we can see how important this his status is in the Gaudiya Madhava Sampradaya. It was said in the Padma Puran that an elevated soul who was pure and highly learned will be born in Purukshottam Kshetra, Jagannath Puri. And he will spread the glories of Lord Jagannath all over the world. So that was the statement in Padma Puran, which is regarding Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he took to spreading the message of Krishna consciousness quite late. Prabhupada says in one of his classes that he gave on the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And so he wanted to get everything done quite quickly, spreading the message of Krishna consciousness all over the world. But he was finding that he had very little time. And so he needed someone who was a bold preacher and who also reflected the purity of the teachings of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he prayed to the Lord, and he prayed very dearly that please send a ray of Vishnu, because I need someone who is powerful, you know, to spread this message throughout the world. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur also had a vision, you know, where from where he was across the river Jalangi, he saw a golden temple where all the Americans, Australians, Europeans, Africans, people from all walks of life would be chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And so he wanted to fulfill that desire. He wanted someone who could come and make this into a factual reality. As we know, Bhakti Vinod Thakur was fighting all the upper sampradayas as well at that time. There were quite a few, and it was a very difficult task. So, having prayed for this, then on the 6th of February in 1874, his fourth son was born among the 10 children. His fourth son, and this son was born to Bhagavati Devi, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's wife. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was very happy, because he was thinking that this is the Lord's answer to his prayers. And when he was 6 months old, this child, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, at that time was the time of the Jagannath Rath Yatra. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was the magistrate of the Jagannath temple, of that whole area. So his house was on the main road, the Grand Trunk Road, that is in Jagannath Puri, where the Rath Yatra goes from the temple to the Gundicha Mandir. So as the Rath cart came, Lord Jagannath decided to stop the Rath cart there. And the Rath cart stopped just opposite the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And it would not move for 3 days. And suddenly Bhagavati Devi, you know, she thought that I should take this little boy, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and offer at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath and get Lord's blessings. So she went, and because Bhaktivinoda Thakur had a high position, the Pandas there took the child on the Rath cart and offered it at the lotus feet of Lord Jagannath. And at that time, a garland from Lord Jagannath's neck fell on the boy. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur was very happy that definitely now he thought his prayers had been answered by the Lord. And then as time continued, came the time of Anna Prashun, which is when the boys fed grains. And I'll refer to my notes. Yeah. So this is Anna Prashun is a time usually when the child develops his teeth. And at the time of Anna Prashun, the boy was fed with Jagannath Mahaprasad, grains from Jagannath Mahaprasad. And as we know that Lord Jagannath's prasad is offered to Vimla Devi first. And she takes the Jagannath's prasad, and then it becomes the Mahaprasad and is given to everyone. So those grains were fed to child, to the child, and he was given the name Vimla Prasad, Vimla's prasad. So that's where the name came from. And Vimla Prasad was, at that time, he was also given a test. As is usual, they kept gold coins and the Srimad Bhagavatam in front of him, and he had to make a choice. And he chose the Srimad Bhagavatam as opposed to the gold coins. Again, proving that this child was destined to be a great devotee of the Lord. So Once when Vimal Prasad grew up and he was 5 years old, at that time he picked up a mango and started to eat. And his father, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he chastised him, saying that we don't eat anything that's not been offered to the Lord first in this house. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bimal Prasad at that time, he took it very seriously. And he thought he was an offender at the lotus feet of the Lord. And he vowed in front of his father not to eat ripe mangoes at any time in his life. And he kept that vow throughout his life. And we know in India especially, you know, where there are such varieties of mangoes, you know, and mango is the king of fruits. Just to take that vow must have been so difficult for him. His disciples used to give him green mango chutney, unripe mango chutney, and he used to eat that, and that was his favorite. Prabhupada also writes, Srila Prabhupada, that was his favorite. So he used to eat that, but he never ate the ripe mangoes. And when he was 7 years old, Bimal Prasad, at that time he had mastered all the 700 verses of the Bhagavad Gita. He had them by heart in Sanskrit. And he was a walking encyclopedia. He could remember whatever he had read just once. And his father, you know, was very pleased that with his son's progress. And at that time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur moved to Calcutta to live there. And he built a house called the Bhakti Bhavan. And while they were building the house, at that time excavation was going on, they found a Kurma deity of Lord Kurma. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave this deity to young Bimal Prasad to worship. And young Bimal Prasad worshipped that deity every day without fail, even though he had to go to school. And he used to also offer boga to the deities and took care of them. So he had this worshipping mentality. Of course, he was born a devotee, but he started worshipping personally at the age of 7, which is quite wonderful. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he was initiated by a guru called Bipin Bihari Goswami. And this Bipin Bihari Goswami used to come and preach at the house of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur from time to time. So one day when this Bipin Bihari Goswami came, at that time Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur paid prostrated obeisances in front of his guru. And then his guru kept his feet on top of Bhaktivinoda Thakur's head. And young Bimal Prasad saw that, and he wasn't very happy. So when Bhaktivinoda Thakur had left the room, he asked Bipin Bihari Goswami, he said, "Do you know the position of my father? He is a Nitya Siddha." Because Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is Kamal Manjari in the spiritual world. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati is Kamal Manjari's assistant, Nayana Manjari. So actually, you know, he came to assist his father, because even in the spiritual world, they work very closely. Nayana Manjari is the assistant of Kamal Manjari. So Bipin Bihari Goswami wasn't that elevated a Vaishnava. And pure Bimal Prasad, even at that time, he knew about it. And he told his, you know, Bipin Bihari Goswami, he says, "My father is a Nitya Siddha, you shouldn't do that." And then Bipin Bihari Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur came into the room, and then Bipin Bihari Goswami told Bhaktivinoda Thakur that your son is so bold, he, on the point of rudeness, almost rudeness like that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur kept quiet at that time. But he used to tell his disciples about this, that Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bimal Prasad, was a very bold, even as a kid, because he questioned my spiritual master when he kept his head on my, when he kept his feet on my head, like that. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur was quite an elevated soul compared to Bipin Bihari Goswami. That's why, you know, this is done. Otherwise, it was normal, like Nityananda Prabhu also placed his foot on, you know, Raghunath Das Goswami, and that was perfectly all right. So, usually it is all right in the Vaishnava Sampradaya, but here it wasn't. And even at that age, Bimal Prasad knew about it. Like that. So, he was very expert as a student, and even at school, he was brilliant, used to read all types of books. And he had interest in nothing but trying to assimilate knowledge, one of the Vedic literatures, through the writings of his father. His father wrote, as we know, 84 books. Bhakti, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote 84 books. And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to read them as Bimal Prasad. And he used to also read other, you know, empirical books on spirituality. Because at that time, the British were ruling India, Western education was available, because the British wanted to basically, you know, make Western education the norm. And Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur and his whole, community, they were very much inclined to this Western education. So he took that Western education, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. And he also studied the spiritual treatises and books from other religions and other parts of the world, written by other authors, which were bona fide. Because since the beginning, he was a very authentic Vaishnava, and he hated hypocrisy, especially in religion, because he was very pure. And his teachers were very much astonished, again, at not only his memory, his intelligence, but his problem-solving skills. And it wasn't that he was just good in arts. He was also good in mathematics, astronomy, in all these subjects. And they were very happy that they had such a student. And then he passed school through his school years. And then at the age of 16, he entered college. He entered a Sanskrit college in Calcutta. This was in 1892 when he was 16. In 1893, Swami Vivekananda of the Ramakrishna Mission, he spoke at the World Religious Congress in Chicago. And his speech, you know, was welcomed by all world leaders, not only religious leaders, but also religious leaders in other walks of life. And so the Ramakrishna Mission became very prominent. But it made life difficult for Srila Bhaktivedanta Siddhanta Saraswati and his father Bhaktivinoda Thakur, because it made the Shakatas, the Ramakrishna Mission, very popular. So their preaching of pure Vaishnavism, you know, was suffering because of that. Because Vivekananda came to India and he was welcomed by everyone, because, you know, it was the first Indian who had addressed the Congress of Religions, and he had come back very successful. Like that. So while he was at college, he studied the Vedas, Sanskrit, under a teacher called Prithvidhara Sharma, who was very much, you know, who was a pandit in Vedic knowledge. And at that time it was very rare to get him to be the teacher. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was he thought himself fortunate. But of course, seeing such a student, even Prithvidhar Sharma was enthused to impart knowledge to him. And then At that time, he started writing. As we know, he wrote profusely. And he wrote in many journals and well-known publications at that time. And he could write in Sanskrit, he could write in Bengali, in English. And we can see his English, you know, his mastery of English. You know, I read some of his articles and I had to sit with a dictionary. Because the words he uses, they, you know, most of the words, you don't know about these because they're not used in ordinary parlance. You know, so you had to always refer to the dictionary. So his erudition was excellent, great. And at this time, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, when he came back from Jagannath Puri one day, so he brought the tulsi plant as well at that time. From there, a special tulsi plant from Jagannath Puri. And he initiated his son, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, in the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And also the Narsimha Dev Mantra. Ugram Viram Mahavishnum Jwalantam Sarvatomukham. So that also young Bimal Prasad used to chant along with the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And he loved chanting. He took to chanting like anything. Later on, as we know, he would spend, you know, many years of his life chanting 194 rounds a day. You know, for 7 years at least. He chanted something like 1 billion. 9 years. He's chanting something like 1 billion names of the Lord. Like that. So he loved it. And at the same time, he developed a shorthand script called the Vikanta. So that he could, you know, write notes in shorthand so that it could improve his, capacity to learn like that. And everyone who saw that shorthand script, even his teachers, thought him a genius that he had produced, come up with such a shorthand script. Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokulananda Ki Jai. Shri Shri Sita Ji, Ram Ji, Lakshman Ji, Hanuman Ji, Ki Jai. Shri Shri Gaur Nitai, Ki Jai. Shri La Prabhupada, Ki Jai. Yeah. So, at college, when he was in college, he mastered Sanskrit language and all the different, aspects of that language so that he could also debate in Sanskrit. It wasn't that he just knew Sanskrit. He could debate with the Sanskrit scholars. And at the same time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur taught that at this time he needs the shelter of a guru. So at that time, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was available. Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, he was a grain merchant. And after the death of his wife, he left his business and his home and everything. And he went to Vrindavan. And he was chanting the holy names of the Lord there. And that gave him, you know, so much entrance into the divine couple's Leela that he used to roam around the Ganges shouting, you know, Radha, Radha, Krishna, Krishna, where are you? So he was in that state. And he had taken a Babaji Vesh coming in the Nityananda Vamsa, Lord Nityananda's Vamsa. So then, after Vrindavan, he came to Navdeep and he used to roam around the Jalangi and, you know, call out to Radha and Krishna again here and chant the holy names. So, he used to also attend the Srimad Bhagavatam classes that Bhaktivinoda Thakur gave when he was based in Godrumdwi. And so they built up a relationship, Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji and Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur wanted his son to take initiation from Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So he told Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati that you go and take initiation from Srila Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. So Bimal Prasad said okay. And he went to Gaur Kishore Das Babaji. He approached him and he said that, you know, I would like to take initiation from you. I want your mercy. So Gaur Kishore Das Babaji said, you know, I can't give you mercy because mercy is not mine. Mercy belongs to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I will ask him. And then I'll think about it. So then, after, you know, days, Bhakti Bimal Prasad again approached him and he asked him that, you know, did you ask Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? And he said, I forgot to ask him. So then, second time this happened, then again he approached him after a few days, and then again, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji said, no, I have forgotten, you know, to ask him. And then, at that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati said, that you worship that Krishna. Now, Krishna is a cheater, and you are cheating me. So, I don't know what's happening, but, you know, by this time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has also told Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati had informed Bhaktivinoda Thakur that even though I am approaching, you know, he's saying, I forgot, you know, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji is saying, I forgot, I don't know. So what should I do? And he says, without getting his mercy and without the initiation, you will have no place in this house. So you must get that initiation. So Gaur Kishore Das, at that time, Bhaktivinoda Thakur approached Gaur Kishore Das Babaji on a bridge, which was on a river. And he says, if you don't give me initiation, I'm going to jump off this bridge and I'm going to give up my life because my father won't let me enter and I want your mercy. So then Gaur Kishore Das Babaji, who had no disciples, at that time he thought, I must, you know. He is very serious. Till that time, Gaur Kishore Das Babaji was also thinking, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was highly learned. Everyone knew of his erudite scholarship all over the place, whether it was in Calcutta or whether it was in Navadvip. And Gaur Kishore Das Babaji signed his name by putting ink on the thumb and then making a thumb impression everywhere. And he was thinking that, you know, his father, I listened to his father's classes and he is such a scholar. How do I, you know, initiate him? So he was thinking himself low. But at that time he thought, no, this boy is serious, so let me give. And at that time he gave him the initiation, initiating him with the name Varshabhanavi Devi Daite Das, which means the Das, servant of that Krishna, who is the beloved of the son of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, the daughter of Maharaj Vrishabhanu, Varshabhanavi Devi Daite Das. So then he was initiated and he took it very seriously and started chanting the names of the Lord, and that is the time that he decided that he wanted to get serious in his spiritual life. And he chanted this name for 7 years, the holy name for 7 years, in a kutir. And that kutir wasn't, you know, a proper kutir. So many times in the rainy season, rain used to come in, and he used to just sit with an umbrella and chant the names under it, not bothering to repair it or do anything with it. He was that, you know, glued to the holy name. He developed that love. And at the age of 23, in 1897, he set up a Sanskrit Chatushpati. A Chatushpati is a school. And he taught Sanskrit and Vedic astronomy to the students. And he also started publishing journals because he had so much knowledge, he wanted to share it with everyone. And that's why he had given Prabhupada the instruction that if you ever get money, print books. You know, that was most important, especially when he was on his deathbed and, you know, there was fighting going on as to amongst his disciples who would have the best rooms in the Bagh Bazar temple, which was made of marble. So at that time, Srila Prabhupada was there and he gave him that instruction that you ensure that, you know, you print books and distribute them profusely. Use money for that. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati himself had established 3 printing presses. He called them Brahat Mridanga, because he said, just as the Mridanga sound vibrates all over, you know, Navdeep, I want it to be vibrated all over India. And that can only be done through these books. And for the books, we need printing presses. Now, in those days, printing presses were not easy to come by. It was British India. India was pretty, you know, basic at that time. So he established, which was a great thing, in Calcutta, Mayapur and Cuttack, at another place. And books were being published, journals were being published and sent all over India. At 25, he took the job of the king of Tripura, who asked him to write a biography regarding his family lineage. He wrote that, trained his sons in Sanskrit. And then also, at the same time, the Maharaj gave him the job of overseeing the workings of the palace. But then, finding enviousness, malice and corruption in the palace, he was very discouraged. And then he gave up the service of the king. The king gave him a pension for life, which Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati refused. At that time, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati wrote an article called the Surya Siddhanta, which was appreciated by all Sanskrit scholars all over India. And they gave him the name Siddhanta Saraswati. So since that time, he became Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. Goswami Maharaj. And then in 1918, at the age of 44, he donned the sannyas robes and he came to Calcutta to his father. And there he started the first Gaudiya mission. He established the Gaudiya mission. After starting it, he roamed all over India. He established 64 Gaudiya mutts. He found that India was full of in religion terms, India was either he had fanatics or religion was sentimentalism. People were just giving lip service, but they were doing all sorts of nonsense in the name of religion. Or there were fanatics who stuck to the books but didn't have the right knowledge to live by. So he therefore said, you know, that character is most important. And all his mutts were involved in building up samskaras, character in people, as we see is happening. Prabhupada established the same thing in ISKCON. So the Brahmanas were very angry because he started giving initiation even to the non-Brahmanas and the Gayatri Mantra even to the non-Brahmanas. So they opposed it. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati challenged them. He said that you prove whatever you are doing is based on the scriptures and then I'll agree. But they couldn't prove because none of the things that they did was based on the scriptures. And he said, I can prove that whatever I do is based on the scriptures. And therefore, this initiation or the spiritual life is not based on birth. It is based on your qualification, what you do. And so I'm training these people to become Brahmanas, and that I'll continue to do. And so the Brahmana shopkeepers, and you know, even in those days it was very strict. The Brahmanas ruled, they had power, even over the kings. The Brahmanas closed down all the shops, not giving provisions to his people. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati was very strong. He was so strong, he is called Simha Guru, because he used to approach, you know, Mayavadis and physically shake them. That why do you, you know, not recognize the personal form of Krishna? How dare you? He is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is all opulent. How do you deny him his person, his personality? Like that. And so the Mayavadis used to get afraid and they used to run away when they saw him. But he continued preaching and he went everywhere all over India taking part in debates and defeating all the Smartha Brahmins and establishing the pure Vaishnavism. Because even Ramakrishna Mission called themselves Vaishnavs, but they weren't following. You know, as Prabhupada said, you know, eating chicken is not Vaishnavism. So at that time, the same thing was happening. And so he had a great job. Bhaktivinoda Thakur had done a lot by bringing people back to pure Vaishnavism. But it was the job of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati to fight all these forces and establish that. He established 64 centers and also had 10 Western disciples. At this time, one day, Gorkishwar Das Babaji, he left the planet. And all the, people from, Navdeep, they came to claim his body. They said, we are going to make a samadhi of Gorkishwar Das Babaji. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati knew why they were taking. Because in the name of samadhis in India, they make a lot of money. People come at the samadhi, they throw money and go. So he said, no one, anyone who has not touched a woman and is pure enough, who is following the regulative principles, they can take the body of my spiritual master. As far as I know, he has no disciples. All of you are claiming his disciples. No one came forward. He said, okay, leave a year, 6 months. One who has followed the regulative principles for 6 months, he can come. No one came. 1 month? No. 1 week? No. 3 days? No one came. He said, I am a Nashtike Brahmachari. And then he said, I am going to take. And I am going to give, samadhi to my spiritual masters. Anyone who stops me, you can go ahead and stop me. I am not good. So then he brought Gorkishwar Das Babaji. And the samadhi is there, as we know, in the temple established by Saraswat Math, which is there behind our Mayapur temple, Chandradaya Mandir. And there, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati also established, beside Gorkishwar Das Babaji Samadhi, the four Sampradaya Acharya deities, which are there, we can see. And then after preaching all over India, then one day, we know the story, he met Srila Prabhupada when he was young, and seeing the bright-faced young boy, he gave him the instructions to preach this knowledge of pure Vaishnavism all over the world in the English language. And Prabhupada took it very seriously. And then in 1936, on 1st of December, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, at the age of 62, he gave up his mortal body to go back and take his position as Nayan Manjari to serve Sri Sri Radha Krishna in the eternal pastimes. Like that. So let us pray to him today and to Prabhupada and to our spiritual masters that they give us the strength to not only distribute Srila Prabhupada's books profusely during his marathon, which was his original instruction, which is coming through Prabhupada to us, but also to give us the strength to carry on in our spiritual life, overcoming all obstacles to, our spiritual life and, becoming serious and sincere devotees so that we can gain their mercy and the mercy of the whole Guru Parampara and we can spread the message all over the world. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.